Christ our Lord is with us as host and guest to dine. As host and guest to die. Whoever eats this bread shall never be hungry. Whoever eats this bread, they shall live forever. In this bread now broken, in this cup of wine, Christ our Lord is with us as hosts and guests to dine. As hosts and guests to dine.
That was a fraction anthem to be sung at the breaking of the bread, and it was written by Bishop Frank Griswold after a group of patristic writers, and I forget the specific one that he used, but the idea in that anthem is a different one. Christ as host and guest. And the reason that I mention it is because one of the things that we do sort of naturally is that we focus, we get a focus, and we get an idea, and we stick with the one that we know. And so most Eucharistic prayers and much of the material that we have about the Eucharist focuses on Jesus' sacrifice, the giving of his life. And there's nothing wrong with that. That certainly makes sense. We say in the Eucharistic prayer, on the night before he died for us, connecting the Last Supper to his crucifixion. And that's a perfectly reasonable understanding. But the trick is to realize it's not the only understanding. So often we lose track of other thoughts or ideas, what my teachers taught me to call a trajectory in the Bible, a line of thinking that runs through the Bible. Sometimes we lose sight of other trajectories because of the one that we've focused on. So it's good for us every now and then to realize that there are other ideas in our scriptures. In the chapters from the Gospel according to John that we've been hearing the last few weeks, Jesus talks about the Last Supper, talks about his communion in terms of manna from the wilderness. And he, in effect, does some teaching about the story of the manna in the wilderness as a way to talk about his ministry. And that teaching that Jesus does picks up on a whole theme that has to do with meals and God. With meals and God. And one of the important pieces of our scriptures, runs all the way through our scriptures, is the idea that the relationship that God chooses to try to establish between creation and God is one of table fellowship. One of table fellowship. There are lots of folks out there who will talk to you about God's power and authority. There are lots of people out there who will talk to you about Jesus' sacrifice, but there are fewer people out there who will talk to you about God's communion, God's table fellowship with us. But it's an important line of thought, an important trajectory in our scriptures. Think about it. It starts in the garden when God provides food for the human beings. It is continued when Abraham receives his angelic visitors and he gets up and hurries about with Sarah to make a meal for them. You can feed God? What's that story about? It's about table fellowship with the divine. That's the relationship that God chooses to have with creation. It shows up in the story of the manna, as Jesus teaches us. That marvelous bread, that what's it, right? Ma is what, and na is it in Hebrew. What's it? Ma na, the what's it? Go gather the what's it. They didn't know what to call it. It was so different. The manna. And God feeds them. God makes sure that they have food to eat. It shows up in the temple sacrifices. When part of the animal is burned as an offering to God, the smoke goes up to where God is in the ancient mindset, and part of the animal is eaten either by the priests or by the family that brought the sacrifice. So that every sacrifice is a meal with God. Table fellowship. It's an important realization that that's the relationship that God has chosen to have with us. One of table fellowship. God sits down to eat with us. God wants intimacy with us. God wants communion and sharing with us. That's table fellowship. And it's more than that, too. When we think about food, when we think about the role of food in our lives, and we realize that when we take something in, when we eat something, it works in us quite beyond our control. I remember getting food poisoning once. I very much wanted to control the food that was in me making me sick, but was not able to do so. That happens when we take food in. It works on us. And certainly the idea of Jesus is, and his meal is that we receive Jesus into our lives and Jesus works on us. Works in us. And that's a very important point as well. To go and have the meal with wisdom, in the reading that we heard from Proverbs, wisdom lays out her meal and prepares it and invites people to come. And this isn't come and let me give you a list of rules to take away with you to follow. That's not what's being portrayed there. It's more, come and receive wisdom into yourself. Bring it into you the way you bring food in. And let it always accompany you. And let it form and shape who you are. The idea is not go learn from Lady Wisdom and then go on your way. The idea is court Lady Wisdom. So that she's always with you. You establish a relationship with wisdom. That's the imagery. That's why wisdom sets her table and calls people in. One of the reasons in the church that we changed from the name Christian education, or worse yet, Sunday school, to the phrase Christian formation is precisely this point. What we do is we form each other as Christians. Because in formation, you learn how to think and act in a way that fits the thing that's forming you. And it's because we can't give you an answer to every question. I joke all the time about, well, there's another thing I had to do seminary never taught me. Right? You know, when I had to go get somebody out of jail once, well, that was something they never taught me about in seminary. Right? You know, but what they did do was they formed me to think like a priest. And that affected what I did when I went and got the person out of jail. That's formation. You know this. You all know this. Say, for example, that you love to bake. I know nothing about baking. But those of you who love to bake know as you're mixing your ingredients, you know that putting this ingredient in first is going to work a little better than that ingredient. Or somebody says to you, I'm having a challenge trying to make this thing because this is happening, and you think about it. No one taught you when this happens, do this. But you know because you've been formed as a baker. You know how to think like a baker. You have experiences to draw on. That's formation. And our participation in the life of the community of faith, our sharing of the stories of the Bible, our participating in the sacrament forms us as Christians. We don't get all the right answers up front because we couldn't possibly know them all. But we learn how to think and pray and act and feel like a Christian. And that forms us for our life in the world. This is the imagery behind the idea of taking in Christ in the Eucharist. We get formed as Christ. Because Christ is a part of our life. As I've always said to you and will always say to you, this is no high up and far away God. This is God sitting at the table with us. That's who God is. The one who sits at the table as host, yes, as guest, because we invite God to the table, and as the meal itself, entering our lives to work on our lives, to form us in the image of Christ. And what happens is, as we are formed in the image of Christ, and we are formed more and more like Christ, we share more and more in Christ's eternal life. When we talk about whoever eats this bread will live forever, that's what we mean. No matter what happens out there in the world to us, we will always be part of Christ and his eternal, divine life. That's what that means. So it becomes important for us to really think about this theme of God and the meal, of God and the meal with us, of Christ and his meal that we receive. I've told you this before. We say, when I give you the bread, or Deacon Greg gives you the bread, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. We say it just like that. We don't say this is the body of Christ, just the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. And the reason we say it that way is because what's the body of Christ? The bread or the person receiving it? To say this is the body of Christ and focus on the bread is to paint too small a picture. The real picture is, it's the body of Christ, and so are you who receive it. That's a really important point. Yes, the Eucharist is our manna. Jesus talks about that. That's an important point, not just because I personally need to have Jesus so that I live forever, but it's about reforming all of creation in the image of Christ. Of going out in the world to be the body of Christ for the world that Christ came and lived and died and rose for. We hear a lot about the sacrifice of Christ, and that's good stuff. But don't forget the meal imagery. Listen for it in the Eucharistic prayer we say today. It's in there. You'll hear it. listen for it. And know that Christ wants table fellowship with you. And Christ gets inside you like bread and wine, because that's how close Christ wants to be with you.